All right, so we're on the third Sunday of the month, which means family service, which means we're looking at the attributes of God. And so, as you can see here, we're looking at God's goodness this morning. Psalm 145, 9 says, "The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made." He is a good God. And I want to keep it fairly simple today, and just primarily a reminder that God is good to us. So let's begin by defining, if we can get the, we're going to look at this, goodness defined, the revelation of God's goodness, the unbeliever's response to the goodness of God, and then the believer's response to the goodness of God. And right now we want to define it. When we talk about the goodness of God, we're not talking so much about His moral qualities. We're not saying that God, in this sense, never sins. When we say He's good, He never sins. That's true, isn't it? We'll cover that when we get to the holiness of God. But when we're talking about the goodness of God, we're speaking more about His benevolent nature. When we say God is good, we are saying that He is kind, He is generous, He is tender-hearted, and He is sympathetic. We are saying that He is loving and quick to show mercy. And we get a wonderful look into the goodness of God in Exodus. That's where you're at. Look at Exodus 33:18. I love this request by Moses in Exodus 33:18. It's a bold request, but it's just a beautiful request showing the longings of Moses' heart. Here's what I want, God. Exodus 33:18, Moses said, "Please show me your glory." I hope that's a prayer that's on your lips regularly. God, show me your glory. I want to see it. I want to see who you are. But listen to God's answer. Look at verse 19. And He said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord." So God links in verse 19 His glory with His goodness. Moses says, "Show me your glory." And God says, "What I'm going to do is I am going to show you my goodness." Now go over to Exodus 34, verse 6 and 7. God in Exodus 34 says, "Moses, I can't show you my face. If you see my face in a sinful condition, you'll die." And so what He says is, "I'm going to put you in the cleft of a rock, and I am going to pass before you. I'm going to cover your eyes so you don't see my face. And when I get past you, I'm going to remove my hand," or I'm going to remove that covering. "I'm going to let you see my after glory." So we have in verses 6 and 7 here, God explaining as He moves past. It's interesting. God speaks to Moses. And so you have in Exodus 33:19, God says, "I will make all my goodness pass before you." Then in verse 6 and 7 in Exodus 34, He explains what that goodness is. Look at it. "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression of sin.'" And so God says, here's my goodness. Here's what it is. He says, "I am merciful. I am gracious. I am slow to anger. I abound in steadfast love and faithfulness." In other words, His love towards us never ends. His faithfulness towards us is sure. We can bank on His faithfulness to His promises. He delights in forgiving us of sin. Listen, God loves to forgive sin. Why? Because when He forgives sin, that honors His Son and His Son's work on the cross. So God loves to honor His Son's work on the cross by forgiving sin. Scripture tells us in other places, He is tender, He is compassionate, He guides us wisely. We can trust His guidance. He is kind and always ready to help. Listen, God is good. And because God is good, He loves to bestow blessing upon His people, doesn't He? Because He is good, He takes pleasure in the happiness of His people. He is a good, loving Father who delights in the laughter and joy of His children. I think many Christians view Him as a harsh, mean God. He's the kind of God who, if you like something, He's going to take it away. Is that what He's like? Is that what you're like with your children? You love to see them have joy. You love to hear their laughter, don't you? God is the same. He is the one who said, "I will make sure all things work out for your good." He is the one who said in 1 Timothy 6, "I have given you everything to enjoy. He delights in our joy. He delights in our pleasure when it is pure. He is the one, because He is a good God, who said, and this is just the most incredible promise, I think, everything that comes into your life will work for your good. It's amazing, isn't it? What a way to live. What a way to think. I have a good God who loves me, who is sovereign and in control of all things that come into my life. And He says that everything that comes into my life is going to be for my good. And if it's not going to be for my good in His sovereignty and in His omnipotence, it's not going to come into my life. What a way to live. That's incredible. I was studying all this on the plane, and you know what? It just overwhelmed me when I was thinking about how good God has been, how good He is. And I just teared up on that plane, and I had to hold my hands down because I wanted to just go. You know, they'd probably kick me out and got the TSA all over me and all that. So I didn't, but that's the way I felt. God is good. Listen to these words from Frances Ridley Havergal. She's an English hymn writer. She understood all this. She understood that everything in her life was working for her good. She understood and she trusted a good God. And listen to what she said. If I could write as I would about the goodness of God to me, the ink would boil in my pen. Amen. Before we move on, is that the God you know? Listen, do you even anticipate His goodness in your life? And if you don't, why don't you? Psalm 23:6 says this. Here's David describing God's actions toward us, His heart towards us. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What's he saying there? God's goodness is a part of your life every day of your life. His goodness is relentless. You wake up in the morning and you're greeted by goodness. You may not understand it as being good at the moment, but the promise is that everything that comes into your life as a believer, it's good. It's going to work for your good. Who should be more positive than a Christian? He's a loving parent, like I said, who loves to bless his children. Matthew 7:11. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Listen, like I said before, if you love providing for your children and you love seeing them have joy when it's pure, you love hearing their laughter, how much more God? He is the perfect parent. When you being evil, you being selfish, I'll say me too, self-centered, yet we still give to our kids because we love their joy. We take delight in their pleasure. How much more God with us? Is that the kind of God you have? Do you live under the smile of a loving God? Or do you live constantly under the frown of a harsh God? He's not that way. He is good. So God is good, but I'm not sure our eyes are open to it all. I mean, I just don't think we see it. And so I want to look at a few ways He is good to get us thinking about how abundant His goodness is. And this is the revelation of God's goodness. First of all, how about the goodness of God revealed in creation? Genesis 1:31 says this, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And just let's take one of those things that He created out and look at it. What about our body? When you think about our body, it is amazing, isn't it? Psalm 139:14 says, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Now, you want to see how good God is? Just look at your body. Everything about the structure of our body attests to the goodness of our Creator. The way the body rises up and fights disease. Listen, right now, you're under attack. Right now, there are germs everywhere that would just take you out. But God has so designed the body that your body is resisting that, fighting against that right now. Look at your hands. God created evolution? No. That this just happened by accident with no intelligence behind it and no designer? Praise God for your thumb. Thumb is awesome. It really works well. How about your eyes? Are they amazing? That they can take all these hues, all these different colors and things changing so quickly and your eyes are tracking with it all? My eyes amaze me. God did that. And now I know that some of us are getting older. You're saying, well, body's breaking down. That's all right. This is part of it. You know what? Just praise God for where you are. Listen, this was all designed. He's just preparing you for glory. The body starts breaking down here. And what happens when that happens? We start longing for glory more and more, don't we? I'm ready. Outwardly, the Bible says we're wasting away. But inwardly, we're being renewed. We're becoming stronger and stronger as we walk with God. I mean, the goodness of God to me today is more thrilling than it's ever been. Listen, but still, your body is an amazing thing. You may say it's breaking down and it's aching more and all this. But you can see me. You can hear me. Your mind's working well enough to understand me. God's good the way He designed your body. Your body is still doing a masterful job. It's wonderfully made. It's processing so many things here, multitasking, so many things going on. Listen, my body still allows me to beat Taylor and Julian in basketball. Undefeated, buddy. I am undefeated. Wonderfully made. Not so sure about your guy's body, but mine is doing well. How about the goodness of God in our daily provision? Psalm 145:9 says this, "The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made." Psalm 145:15-16 says, "The eyes of all look to You, and You give them their food in due season. You open Your hand, You satisfy the desire of every living thing. Whether man, birds of the air, beasts of the fields, fish in the sea." Listen, all are debtors to God's goodness for the provision of the food that sustains them. Now, here we see the goodness or the importance of the goodness of God, because every human being is absolutely dependent upon Him for the necessities of life. And so if He wasn't good, all would be affected. But He is good. The eyes of all look to You, and You give them their food in due season. I mean, this is why we say grace before we eat, isn't it? Why does the Christian say grace? Is it just something we're supposed to do and so we can eat our food and not choke? No, it's not about that at all. We are acknowledging the truth that God in His goodness has provided this food. And I think this is why it's important to say grace in public. Because we are publicly testifying that we understand that God has provided for us. I understand the world doesn't acknowledge this fact. They praise themselves. What do you mean, thank God? I worked hard. I earned a paycheck and I went down and I bought this food. I'm eating because of me. Listen, we understand as Christians the necessity of hard work and effort, but above all, we see that whatever we have, that meal in front of us, is because of God's daily provision. He has done that. Again, verse 15 of Psalm 145, "The eyes of all look to You, and You give them their food in due season. Therefore, every slice of apple, every piece of bread, every meal becomes a reminder that God is good. God is good." How about the goodness of God in the pleasures of life? God not only provides the necessities like food, He then makes food pleasurable. I mean, we could all eat like the spacemen do, you know, a little tube of ooze, right? Tasteless, flavorless. It'd get the job done, wouldn't it? Go to a pizza parlor and here's your red and green pill. Now, how was it? About the same as that brown pill I had they called steak. I don't know. You know, for Avery, I don't think Avery's here, is she? I was thinking about her brown goo instead of chocolate. That wouldn't be good. But God's put flavor into food. You ever thought why? Well, one of the reasons is this, because he's good. He's good. He did that because he loves us and he's good. So we would enjoy eating our meals so that it would be pleasurable. Again, he delights in the joy of his children in so many ways. I told you, I think last Sunday, Wednesday before, we went up to L.A. to see the Lakers and the Clipper game, and we went to Pink's Hot Dogs. Anybody ever been to Pink's Hot Dogs? Yeah. Oh, Taylor. Yeah. Oh, go to Pink's Hot Dogs. I mean, Taylor and I were just eating these hot... I mean, you got your hot dog, you got chili, and then bacon. Then I got another special one with... You got your hot dog and pastrami, and it's spicy Polish hot... I mean, meat... You know what I mean? I'm getting hungry. Anyway, me and Taylor, it's like every bite, we're just looking at each other going... And then we go to the Laker game and they beat the Clippers. You know what? After that day, after all that, we stopped in that parking lot before we drove off and we thanked God for our day. Why? Because we understood he is good. He gave us that day. He enjoyed, I believe, us having just that pleasure, enjoying being with each other. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Listen, his goodness is seen in all these things. His goodness is seen in the world we walk in, right? In the world he has made. Psalm 33:5 says this, "The earth is full of the goodness of God." Again, see, it's not only functional. He made it beautiful, didn't he? You've got places like, I noticed one of the pictures Carrie put up on one of the worship songs was El Capitan in Yosemite. Andy, I'm sure you noticed that. Andy loves Yosemite. So do I. Breathtaking. Absolutely breathtaking. You have places like the coastline of California. You have springtime in England. Oh, get over to England in springtime. Amazing. You have the fall colors of the Blue Ridge Mountains, where Norm and Terry lived. God didn't have to do that, did he? Why did he do that? I mean, he could have just made it all functional. It's dull gray. But he didn't. He did this, I believe, because he is good. He cared about our enjoyment as we lived here. And so he made things so beautiful. He could have turned the sky into a mustard yellow. I said, "You know what, sinners, rebels, that's right. You deserve it. Live with that for your whole life." What did he do? He made it a beautiful blue, didn't he? A relaxing. They say that blue is the most relaxing color there is. And so God makes the sky blue. And then he paints these beautiful colors in sunrises and sunsets. Why? For our enjoyment. God is good. He could have created flowers without fragrance. He could have had us walk these fields without hearing the chorus of the birds. He could have created life without golden retrievers. God is good. All of this, creation shouts out the glory of God. Creation also shouts out the goodness of God. Remember Moses said, "Show me your glory." God said, "I'm going to tell you about my goodness." I'm going to link those two together. And so as you walk through this creation, everything is a reminder of how good he is. The little things, just the little things. I mean, I think sometimes I wake up in the morning, I'm going to do my devotions, go and I get a good cup of coffee. So I got my Bible, meeting with God, good cup of coffee, and then my dog comes in and lays at my feet. And I just go, "God, this is as good as it gets. I don't need anything more than this. Thank you. You are good." And it was interesting. While I was typing this yesterday into my computer, Kobe was laying there by my feet. And right when I get to this line, he licks my feet. I didn't have any shoes on. I thought, great timing. Nice one. You know, hey, dogs, they like that stuff. I don't know. It all just testifies what Paul said in Timothy, that God richly provides us with everything to enjoy. 1 Timothy 6:17. God not only gives us what is necessary, but He is generous, isn't He? He delights in our joy and then provides what is necessary for our enjoyment. I pray we'll all have eyes to see this more and more. What about the goodness of God seen in His patience to lost man? That's good, isn't it? The moment man fell into sin, God could have justly and fairly said, you know what, that's it. You will now exist in a horrifying state of nothing more than coming wrath, with no escape, no hope. That's how the fallen angels exist. You realize that? They fell, and there was never a chance back. And so those fallen angels have existed since the fall, knowing that judgment is coming. No compassion, no mercy. And God could have said to us, that is exactly how it's going to be for you. And that would have been fair. The wages of sin is death. God is just. He must judge sin. So we could have existed with no hope. We could have existed where God deprived rebellious man of every good thing. You're going to live with a total lack of blessing, total lack of comfort and pleasure, because that's what you deserve. But God has shown mercy, blessing everyone with common grace, food, the sun, rain. He has been so patient, blessing rebellious man with time to repent, hasn't He? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God gave you time? That God didn't just say it's over, but that He's given time? For those of you who have had family members come to Him in the last few years, aren't you glad He was patient? Every day, more people know Him. Every day, the hallelujah chorus that is going to give Him glory in heaven for all of eternity is growing. I'm glad He's patient. I just want to go to heaven. I just want to be with Him. On the other hand, I'm so glad He's patient. How grateful we should all be that God gave us time and didn't judge us right away. Now, the next one we see is the goodness of God at its greatest point. The goodness of God seen in the sending of His Son. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. How good is He to reach out to the rebel in love? Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Grace in the Greek means benevolence or goodness. And so what is Paul saying there to Titus? Because God is good, He is loving, benevolent, and kind. And that is seen, that goodness, that kindness, that benevolence is seen at its greatest by sending His Son so that man could be saved and rescued from their sin. Now, this goodness is meant to cause a response from the creature. Romans 2:4 says this. Turn over to Romans 2:4. I'll get you turning somewhere. I know I've got a lot of scriptures here and I've been reading them just to wake you up a little bit maybe. Romans 2:4. This goodness is meant to cause a response from the creature. Romans 2:4 says, or do you presume on the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? Now that word kindness can also be translated goodness. And that's how, if you have the New King James Version, you'll be happy now, because that's how it translates it. It says, or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. So notice it says there, the riches of His goodness. What is He talking about? Well, in context, you've got to go back to Romans 1, and there in verses 16 and 17, there's the context. That's where Paul starts talking about the riches of God's goodness, and it's the gospel. The riches of God's goodness is seen in the gospel. That God sent His Son to rescue guilty sinners like you and I who deserved only hell. And that His Son came and lived that life of perfect obedience God required for man to get into heaven. And through His death on the cross, He paid that penalty we deserve, that penalty we deserve to pay for breaking His law. Then God says, here is the good news. All who embrace My Son by faith, even though you still fail, God will view you through Christ's perfect obedience. And He will no longer hold your sin against you because Jesus bore your wrath. That's good news. And so Paul says, the riches of God's grace seen in the gospel, when you see how good God has been, that's meant to do something. What's it meant to do? Well, it's meant to cause repentance. Let's look at that. Let's look at two things here. Let's look at what the goodness of God, the riches of God's goodness is meant to do. First of all, in the response of the unbeliever and in the response of the believer, because it's meant to affect both of us, both sides. So let's first of all look at the unbeliever's response to the goodness of God. I think this is a good question that Paul asks. He says, do you despise the riches of God's goodness? How would you do that? How would you despise the riches of His goodness? Well, he tells us, look at verse 4 again. Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? See that? The way you would despise His goodness is not to respond in repentance. The proper response then is repentance, which simply means this. You turn from your sin and you turn to God. You embrace Him by faith, and you begin to follow Him. Now, let's work this out. See the logic behind it. Every man, woman, and child has enjoyed the goodness of God every day. You've eaten. You've seen the beauty of His world. You've stayed alive. He who holds your breath in His hand hasn't said, that's the last one. He's given you time. Now, why has He given you time? Why has He been good in His patience? Again, so that you'll repent. That's what he says in 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you. Why? Why is He good in being patient toward the unbeliever? Not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. There it is. He has been good to you every day if you're not a believer. That is meant to affect you. The proper response to all this goodness is to turn to Him. It is to see that He is good. It is to see that He has provided a solution for your sin, that He is a loving God. His goodness is being extended. His mercy is being extended. And so the proper response, the logical response to a God who loves you like that, who is extending that love like that, extending that compassion, that mercy, and who is being patient, is what? To turn from your sins and run to Him. Run to the God who loves you like that, who is offering you eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. But there's also a warning to the unbeliever in Romans. It says, don't take God's patience as being soft on your sin. He will judge your sin. His goodness is being extended. Embrace it while you can, because one day patience will run out, that goodness will end, and you'll enter in to experiencing only His wrath if you continue to reject His Son. Romans 11:22 says this, therefore consider the goodness and severity of God. Right now you're experiencing the goodness of His patience if you don't know Him. He hasn't said that is your last breath. There is still time to repent. There is still time to embrace His Son by faith. But if that goodness doesn't bring about repentance, then you must experience His severity. So that's the unbeliever. The response to his goodness is repentance. It's to go to Him, embrace Him by faith. But what about the believer who has responded to God through the gospel? Who has seen His goodness, who has recognized that he is sinful, or she is sinful, before a holy God, and has embraced Christ as their only hope of salvation, and has been saved. As a believer, what should our response be? Well, we need to address this, because I don't think our response is what it should be when I look around, when I see my own heart. David cries out in Psalm 107:8, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. He says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord because of His goodness. Problem is, they rarely do. That's the problem with us, isn't it? We should be living like this all the time, giving thanks to God for His goodness. But how rare it is. Why? Well, I think one of the reasons is we just get used to His goodness. He is so good all the time, and it just becomes so commonplace because it's so constant, we just take it for granted. I was involved in a ministry in the state of Washington, and we were there for 3 or 4 months, and where we were staying was up on a hill. We were about 15 minutes from the Canadian border, and it was absolutely beautiful. And we would sit up there, and we would eat our lunch there, and we would eat our breakfast there, and looking down into this valley, we would see all these deer. There'd be eagles, you know, and for the first month or so, we're like, oh, look at that. Is that unbelievable? By the end of the time there, we weren't even mentioning it anymore. It just had become so commonplace. And I think that's what happens with the goodness of God. It just becomes so commonplace. He's always good. He's always providing. And we just forget. We just become used to it. Every meal we eat, every flower we smell, every breath we take, these are all reminders. God is good. And I think another reason why we don't see His goodness, and I think this is important to talk about, is that I think a lot of times we impose upon God our blueprint for what we want to see happen in our life. And we want Him to sign off. Here's the plan for my life, God. You just see what I want, and you go ahead and provide that. And when He doesn't line up with our blueprint, we think He's not good. Listen, let me tell you where you're going to find a place of joy and contentment and rest. It's when you surrender to His blueprint. It's when you say, you know what, God, You are good. I know You are good. I know that Your thoughts towards me are always good, always loving. I know that You've said in Your Scriptures that You know the plan You have for my life. It's a plan that is filled with goodness. God, You have said that everything You bring into my life, it's all going to work for my good. And therefore, Lord, I surrender to Your blueprint. And I will be content in whatever You do. And I will embrace it as good. That's where you're going to find joy and peace. So, what is the believer's response to the goodness of God? We should also respond in repentance, shouldn't we? Listen, the goodness of God leads you to repentance, Romans 2:4. That's not just talking, I don't think, for the unbeliever. That's just the way it works. Isn't that the way it works in your life? When God has done something that just amazes you, how do you respond? I mean, if you're like me, it's usually, thank You, God, so much. Oh, I love You, and this and that, and I go on with that. Worship. But there's also a part of me that says, God, You're so good. I want to live for You. I want to bring You glory with my life. It brings me to a place of fresh surrender. So His goodness is to bring about a repentance in our life. His goodness is a means of grace, is an aid, I think, to a deeper surrender and a deeper repentance. It just affects us that way. We should also respond in thanksgiving and gratitude, shouldn't we? Psalm 13:5 and 6 says this, "But I have trusted in Your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in Your salvation." This says this, verse 6, Psalm 13, verse 6 says, "I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me." There's the reason why when the worship band strikes up that first chord, you're singing. It's not because, well, God's looking at me and I have to and this and that. And it's, no, because God, I understand You have dealt bountifully with me. You have been good. And so, God, I want to sing with all of my heart. Listen, I think we've been so affected by the health and wealth teaching. I just want to talk about that for a second. We hear something like this, and immediately, you know what we usually do? God has been bountifully to me. He's treated me bountifully. He's been good. We think about, let's see, bank accounts, material things. We think about health. I think we've all been affected by the health and wealth doctrines more than we know. And so we may think, you know what? I don't have all the toys others have. I'm driving a beater car. The paycheck barely stretches. But listen, God is good. God is wise. He has a good plan for your life. And sometimes out of His wisdom, and out of His goodness towards you and His love towards you, He says, what you need right now is sickness. What you need is leanness. That's what's best for you right now. Listen, trust Him. Remember Francis Havergal again? If I could write as I would about the goodness of God to me, the ink would boil in my pen. I mean, you hear that and you think, wow, she must have had a life free of problems. No. She dealt with constant sickness and constant weakness, and yet still wrote that. How? She was in love with a sovereign God that she trusted with all her heart. She knew that He knew exactly what was best for her. And so she just embraced that and said, God, whatever You bring into my life, whether it is weakness, sickness, God, I trust You because You're good. And so I trust Your love in my life. I trust that everything You bring into my life comes through that goodness. Live like that, and everything becomes a source of worship, doesn't it? Everything becomes a source of gratitude and thanksgiving. Now you can be content. God, Your blueprint, whatever You want, God, I will thank You for it because You have said it is all good. And if it wasn't for my good, You wouldn't allow it. And so it's all for my good. So thank You. That's why James says, give thanks when you're in trials, because God is sovereign. God is good, and what He is doing in your life is always good. Contemplate God's goodness. Whether you have a little or a lot, He has been good to you. Contemplate this thought until it changes you. Think about this. You are saved. I don't understand why we complain and murmur so much. I'm saved. God has sent His Son to rescue me from hell. I am going to be with Him in heaven for all of eternity. Listen, you may be sick today, but He has been extremely good on the cross, on drawing you to Him, on saving your soul. You may be sick today. You will be well soon. God is good. You may have financial troubles, but God has been good. You are rich where it counts. Rich towards God. You know Him through His Son. You are an inheritor of everything that Jesus has been given. You don't know how rich you are. God has been good. Don't judge it all through temporal things like a bank account. God has been good. Plus, when you're going through financial hardship, this good God says that it is working for your good. I guarantee you, this is a promise. Yes, you're going through financial difficulties, and all of it is for your benefit. What a way to live. What a way to view life. Some Christians seem to only see the bad. Stop it. You should be so positive because of the promises of the Scripture. He says, I'm working everything out for your good. And we're like the children of Israel. God leads them into the wilderness, leading them towards the promised land. All they can do is complain and murmur. And Moses says, you know what? You've upset Him. He's brought you here. He said He would provide. He's done all that for you, bringing you out of Egypt, and you're here now and you're complaining? Well, see what He's doing. He is good. You have His Word today. That's good, isn't it? Do you understand that? When I came out of Bible college, I didn't have anything. You ever heard the joke? You know, I went to college and my parents moved. I went to college and my parents moved. I didn't have any place to go. And so I ended up living in another Christian's garage, and I had a few sets of clothes and a box full of books. That's all I had. But I had my Bible. I remember just grabbing that Bible. I remember just embracing it at times, just saying, I am so rich. I have God's Word. Psalm 19, 9 and 10 says, the ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. You're rich if you have His Word. May God help us to see how good He's been so that it changes how we look at life, so that we become more positive, less whiny. May we see it, and may it affect us in a way where it causes deep repentance, reverent worship, to where we have a heart that is overflowing with thanksgiving. Every meal, every peer pressure, every paycheck. You guys with your paychecks, worship God when you get that paycheck because He provided that. Oh, I work really hard. Yeah, but you know what? He gave you the job. All good things come from Him. He's the provider. When you get that paycheck, just take a second and say, God, thank you. This comes from your hands. Psalm 107, 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Billy Sunday said, the Christian, I've said this before, the Christian should be a hallelujah from head to toe. Why? Because He's good. Because He's good. You're living under the goodness of God. That should affect you. So some of you need to think differently about God. We'll just close it up now. Some of you need to think differently about God. You dwell under the smile of a good God, not under the frown of a harsh God. He loves you. He enjoys and delights in your joy and in your pleasure like any good parent would with their children. And He is beyond any parent here on earth. Every day you wake up, His goodness meets you. Every day. Sovereignly, He is turning every situation and every circumstance for your good. It is great to be a Christian, living with a God like that as our Father. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. How great it is to be Your children. How wonderful it is to know You. How wonderful it is to walk through this life realizing that the goodness of God is constantly pursuing us. Thank You for Your plans for us that You have promised they are good. Thank You for Your provision. And Lord, I pray that even when we're going through times where there's leanness, maybe sickness, I thank You that those times are times of goodness too. You have promised that nothing comes into our life that doesn't work for our good. I thank You that there is only positive when we look at it through the eyes of Scripture. Help us, Lord, to rejoice in who we are in You. Help us to see, Lord, how good You are. Open our eyes as we walk through this world and we see the beautiful things You've put here. When we smell the fragrance of Your flowers. See the beauty of the sky when You paint Your sunsets and Your sunrises. When we see the waves crashing there when we go down to the sea. How good You are. God, we love You. We thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.